So if you don't mind, I want to read a couple of passages that have... I should mention, too, just this, by way of honoring the man, that Gandhi, who unfortunately most people in the West haven't really studied, so they have really bizarre views of what he believed. But Gandhi read the Bhagavad Gita every day of his adult life. He read the Bhagavad Gita. He called it his mother, capitalized, my mother, he called it. It was his mother. His entire philosophy was based on the Bhagavad Gita. And it's one of the ironies of history that the man who assassinated him was doing so because he'd read a verse in the Bhagavad Gita that led him to believe he should shoot Gandhi. So he had two readers of the Gita, one who got shot and one who shot. But Gandhi had gone a little further with it than the man who shot him. And but I was turned on to this. Gandhi was embarrassed because he was on a... I will end here soon. He was on a... Gandhi was about 20 years old, born and raised in a middle-class Indian family, out for the bucks. You know, stuff we've been talking about tonight, you know, the world. I'm going to go out there and make a bunch of bucks and get some stuff, you know. So he went to law school in England, became an attorney, moved to South Africa, where there were a lot of East Indians living at the time who needed attorneys. There weren't many attorneys available, so he was going to go down there and make his mark. And so he didn't start by being Gandhi. He started by being a guy who wanted to make a bunch of money being a lawyer. And he's doing his lawyer thing, and it's kind of not working. He's not making a lot of money, that's for sure. And he decides to go on a train ride. And on this train ride, he's in a compartment with this English guy who he's never seen before. And the English man, noticing that Gandhi's East Indian, the English man says, "Well, what's your opinion of the Bhagavad Gita?" And Gandhi, in complete embarrassment, had to tell the man he'd never heard of it. And the man said, "Well, you really should get a copy of the Bhagavad Gita and read it. It's from your own tradition, you know." And it became Gandhi's mother, that book, because of an anonymous Englishman. And I was turned on to this book about 37 years ago. And there are just a couple things I wanted to read, if you don't mind. Krishna speaking. "I myself never was not, nor thou, nor all the princes of the earth, nor shall we ever hereafter cease to be. As the Lord of this mortal frame experiences therein infancy, youth, and old age, so in future incarnations will it meet the same. One who is confirmed in this belief is not disturbed by anything that may come to pass." None of us were ever not. None of us will ever not be. So... welcome. Just a couple of others. He also says that the slightest effort in this direction is not wasted. Even if putting a leaf somewhere, the slightest effort is not wasted. That's how benevolent the universe is. Yeah, I'm looking for one that's... Here's an interesting one some of you have perhaps experienced. "He who is perfected in devotion findeth spiritual knowledge springing up spontaneously in himself in the progress of time." Suddenly it's just there. Okay, just one more that's my favorite. Actually, I went crazy thinking about it a few decades ago. May not be able to find it. Patience is a virtue. There's one I was going to read, it's late, so I won't, but there's one where Krishna is Arjuna's charioteer in this war, and for a long time, Arjuna just thinks this guy's his charioteer. It takes him a few chapters into the Bhagavad Gita to realize who this guy really is. And then he's just full of apologies and, I treated you as a friend. I joked with you. I just felt sorry. Please accept my. Please forgive me. You know, I didn't know who my charioteer was here. Oh, here's the one that drove me crazy for a year or so. I lived in Santa Barbara at the time, and I had some time on my hands. So I go stand in the downtown Santa Barbara, like on a corner. And I just have this following in my head as I watch the passing parade. Krishna speaking again. As a single sun illumineth the whole world, even so doth the one spirit illumine everybody. That one got to me. As one sun illumines the whole world, one spirit illumines everybody. So you stand on a street corner and watch them go by. They're all illuminated by the same light. Just like the sun illumines everybody. It's incredible. And you want to go up and say, hey. Hey. Want to dance the dance of Krishna? Want to go hear some flute music or something? The other thing, a good thing to end on, actually, is this article points out that if a person's pursuing any of this I don't like this word, but I'll use it. If a person's pursuing any of this seriously, the article points out, it would be best to speak of it very little. To do it pretty much in the silence and secrecy of one's own self, and to thereby keeping it sacred. It says that nothing is gained by sharing one's deepest thoughts and aspirations with others except disappointment and a kind of diffusion of the energy of what was shared. So the further one goes, the more silent one needs to be, which is why a lot of sages that you read about are like often called silent sages. You know, they rarely say much. When they do, it's pretty incredible, but they don't have a lot to say because there aren't a lot of people who want to hear what they have to say anyway. And this is the last point, which is that Krishna can appear to anybody, anywhere, anytime. And that's the hope too. Might not look like, quote, Krishna, but, you know, a friend of mine calls them Eskimos. You know, you're going along in your life and suddenly an Eskimo appears and your whole life changes. You didn't even know, never saw the person before, never saw him again. Yeah. There's a story of a guy named Jacob Burma, who is a German, very famous German mystic and a shoemaker. When he was 10 years old, he had this vision of the universe, of, including Krishna. He's a German. You know, he's got no awareness of Eastern thought. And at 10 years old, he has this universal vision of what could be called nothing other than Krishna. You know, everything. And this is a kid, 10-year-old kid, no background, no training. He works as farmers. You know, he's a farmer's son. So he milks cows and stuff. No education. So he's got this universal vision that was given to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. This 10-year-old has this universal vision. And as a 10-year-old, he says two things to himself. One, this vision isn't meant for my personal use. And two, this vision means that as an adult, I will have great occult powers. And two, I have to take a vow right now that I'll never use these powers for myself. It's a 10-year-old kid. Okay. So when he's about 19, he's apprenticed to a shoemaker. You know, because I guess there was enough work on the farm. So he's apprenticed to a shoemaker. It's his first day at the shoe shop. He's feeling all nervous. He's a kid from the farm. He's in the town. He's in a shoe shop. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's nervous. The master shoemaker leaves, has to go on an errand. This kid's in there. First day, he's totally out of it. And this gentleman, quote unquote, this gentleman walks into the shoe shop with, quote, a certain look in his eye, unquote, and says to the young kid, what's the price of that pair of shoes? And the kid says, I have no idea. I just started working here. And the gentleman says, well, I just want to tell you that you're going to be a very important man later in your life. And you must remain true to the vow you took when you were 10 and walked out the door and was never seen again. That's an Eskimo. Yeah. Jacob Burma, a very famous Western mystic, B-O-E-H-M-E. Yeah. So those Eskimo things can happen. That would all be Krishna's benevolence. So that's about it. Thank you very much. Next time we start on time. That's the only message. We may even end earlier.